Hey ladies, really quick, I want to tell you about a summer program that I have just created for you to get all the support that you need this summer to help you stop drinking for good and make it a summer to remember. So listen up. Who is this for? This is for any roadmap student that has already purchased the course. This is for someone brand new. For those of you that have never heard about the roadmap course or understand what it is, and it's for my existing current clients that want some extra support. This is for anyone who wants to step into summer and have a community and connection. So here's what it is. I want you to know that I remember what it feels like to have regrets of not doing what I said I was going to do. I remember pool days, lake days, summer vacations where I said I wasn't going to overdrink and I did anyway. And I felt like crap in the morning, and I wasn't getting up feeling refreshed and seeing those sunrises. And there's just nothing like having a clear, sober mind walking on the beach when the sun is coming up to celebrate our Creator. And I had many, many, many vacations where that was not true for me. And now I've had many more that is. And I can tell you, I am way more clear, and I love my life now. And I know this is very hard, and I know this is hard to do it by yourself, especially if you don't have a supportive partner. Maybe you don't have friends that you can tell. You're listening to this podcast because this is all that you've been able to experience, and maybe you are trying challenges and things like that. But here's why this is different. Because I have a step-by-step process for you that will help you to see your relationship with alcohol, make a surrendered declaration to make a change in that relationship. Are you going to mess up? Probably so. Guess what? That's the beauty of this community. It's okay, because what I want you to do is learn from that. We're going to walk through new routines and create strategies and help you know what to do when you have a craving and set some intentions around your vacations and upcoming events. Like, what can I do instead? How can I prepare my mind? How can I prepare my energy? And then what I'm going to offer you is weekly Monday night Zoom meetings, starting in June, the beginning of June, all the way through July 29th. That is 9 weeks of meetings, a Facebook community, and this roadmap course. We will have check-ins and accountability, and we'll get prayed over, and we'll celebrate your wins, and you set your weekly intentions. It gives you an opportunity to ask specific questions. Where else can you go and say to a community and to a coach that has been there, done that, specific questions that will help you in your journey? This is the place for you. There's going to be community, encouragement, love. You know, I know some of you want to jump in and ask questions, and I know some of you don't really want to do that, and you want to kind of be behind the scenes. But I'm telling you, there is value in you holding yourself accountable, showing up on Mondays, raising your hand, or at least just sitting there and acknowledging, I'm on this screen, I'm in this community, I'm doing this thing, I'm taking action daily. Yes, I maybe overdrank. Yes, I didn't do what I said I was going to do, but we're going to learn from it. We're going to grow from it. And I want to help you to truly, truly, truly make this a summer to remember. So I'm working on the ins and outs of how you can get it right away. But right now, when you're listening to this message, I want you to email me at michelle@setfreesisterhood.com and say, I heard about the Summer Support Sisterhood. That's what it's called. And I want on the waiting list. We will be enrolling the week of Memorial Week. So starting the Sunday before Memorial Day, that entire week, that is your enrollment. And that's it. And then I'm closing it down. So whoever gets in, gets in. We will be meeting, like I said, every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. So I'm going ahead and tell you the time, because that's when I'm available and I'm committing to show up with you. So email me now and let me know this is something that you want. I can give you the details and how to take the next steps. And I'm telling you, this is your chance for 2024 to change everything this summer. I love you, sister, and I can't wait to meet you inside. Hello, my beautiful friends. I hope you're having a wonderful day. This is a very special and vulnerable episode for myself and my friend Katie May and Ryan, as we decided to get together and talk about our experience as we have both walked through a separation and divorce over the past couple of years. And why did I want to bring this to the table? Well, a couple of reasons. Because it's just real. It's reality. And as we talk about in the episode, there are stats that say 50% of marriages end up in divorce. Neither one of us wanted to be that statistic. However, we did recognize that these were some of us who were in the moms in the middle group. There were six of us, and three of us are now divorced. So it really hits home when we recognize that there's a lot happening inside of that statistic. And here's where we wanted to share the truth with you. It all led to growth and healing and really connected us even closer to our relationship with the Lord. So you're only going to get a glimpse, as we know, we never know anyone's whole story. But what I'm going to tell you is what was most important for me, and what I found inside of our conversation was we showed up to glorify the Lord in all that we said and did. And we decided, and I know me deeply personally, I decided that I was going to tell my perspective and own up to my part as a human inside of my relationship and fully respect my ex, and they did the same. By no means do we ever want to speak in a way that will feel disrespectful to them or point them out, because they have their own story and they have their own life and they have their own perspective. And I knew, since I have this platform with a lot of women on it, and some of you have come to me and said, oh my gosh, if I stop drinking, am I going to get a divorce? Well, I can't answer that for you. But what I can answer for you is that whatever you do, do not make any major life decisions when you're under the influence of alcohol consistently, because a lot of reasons. It's not you. You're coping. You're not even living in alignment with who you are as a woman of God. And so you really can't see your relationship clearly. I was alcohol free over 3 years before my ex and I came to this conversation and started walking through the process of separation and then what led to divorce. So, like I said, it's a very vulnerable conversation, but I feel like no matter what, whether you're already divorced and you're inside of what would it be like if I start dating? Do I even want to get married again? If I do, how do I avoid this happening to me again? You know, what do I need to do to set myself up differently? Or you may be someone that is in a marriage, and it might just encourage you by how we're looking at how our role mattered. Maybe you can look at how your role matters as a partner. And then you may be someone that is just really struggling. I've got several clients that I'm working with personally right now. They're really struggling inside of their marriage. And I have said it, and I'll say it again, I'm not pro-divorce. And I know that we have to lean into God. And we have to lean in to the marriage that He wants us to have, what is serving Him on mission. And I shared a little bit about that excitement for me in the future, that I actually do want to get married again. I'm excited about that. I look forward to being able to, because I know who I am now, and I know who my partner is now, and I look forward to being beside Him and supporting Him and vice versa. And I want to be on mission. And that's so much of what I do here inside this podcast, is I'm on mission to glorify God. I'm on mission to help you see that God has big plans for you, and He is ready to help you and support you and lift you up into the woman that He's calling you to be. And no matter what age you are, today is the day. You're never too old. You can start today. So I love you. We hope as a collective that this encourages you and blesses you. And at any time, if you want to reach out to any of us, I'll have everyone's links and I'll have it in the show notes. And you know, I'm here to support you and hold your hand and help you through your journey of choosing to be alcohol free or walking through whatever it is you need some help and support with. That's what I'm here for. I love you, sister, and talk soon. Hey sister, are you newly alcohol free but you've been hanging on for dear life, hoping you don't fall backward? Or maybe you're still stuck in the cycle of overdrinking even when you told yourself you would stop, waking up each day with thoughts of self-loathing? Is your anxiety through the roof so much that you wake up at 3 a.m. with your heart racing and negative thoughts about yourself? You hide it so well, not many people know. Girl, I get you and I see you. I'm Michelle Porterfield, and for so many years I experienced all of this. Here's the deal. Quitting drinking is just the first step. I believe that's why it can be so scary. We know deep down it's more. Once we see what's underneath all the covering up, true freedom is found. And I'm here to help you do just that. So whether you're newly alcohol free or just sober curious, there is freedom on the other side. I can't wait to help you ditch the wine witch or help you find your mindset breakthrough and reignite your purpose after alcohol. Girlfriend, you are in the right place. Welcome to Set Free Sisterhood. Oh, I feel so honored today. I get to be with two of my amazing friends, Ryan and Katie, and we're going to share our stories about joy and sadness and our journey through separation and divorce. And we're here not to say that we are in celebration of divorce or that we want to just advocate for that, but we also want to just get real with our listeners and share what has been true for us in our journey and the experience. And I hope that whatever happens with whoever gets to listen, that you will be blessed, maybe you'll feel seen, you'll feel heard, and that you may even open up an opportunity to really reunite and reconnect in your relationship or your marriage because of what you've heard. And just reach out and ask for support no matter where you are. So first, I want to just celebrate and let my beautiful friends share who they are and a little bit about yourself. I'll start with you, Katie.
Oh, well, hello. Yes. Hi. Thanks for having us. I'm so excited. my name is Katie May. I am a relationship coach and mentor. My primary clientele and the women I help are high achieving women who are dissatisfied in their relationships, and I help them create and experience the relationships they truly desire, mainly around the depth and intimacy, right? And by stepping into their true vulnerability. So that's the short part of who I am as a professional, but I am a mom of two beautiful children, a 9 and 3-year-old, 10 and 4 this year. I was married for 15 years. And now divorced, a little over, if you're including separation, which I do, a little over a year now. Yeah. So that is in short who I am and a little bit about my story.
I'm Ryan, and I, got to know Michelle and Katie through all of our amazing podcasts. I used to host a podcast called Wellness and the Word, which will be back soon, someday, God willing, really just focused on, mental and physical wellness and specifically, meditating on God's word and really just understanding his word so that we could know what he says and how important it is to take care of ourselves, with God. And I am the mom of 3 kids, 11, 8, and 6. And I have been divorced for 2 years now. We've again separated and then through divorce about 2.5 years. So it's been a long journey, but necessary. We were together for 12 years total and definitely not something I ever wanted to walk through, but here we are. And the good news is that I have seen the good news in all of that brokenness. And now we focus on God's redemption from here. So super excited to be here and have this really important conversation.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll share because this is going on all of our platforms. So I'm Michelle Porterfield, and I'm a host of Set Free Sisterhood podcast. And really my main service is just really helping Christian women to stop over drinking and create a life that they love and really just come back home to themselves so they can step into the life that God truly has designed them to live. And that has been interwoven through my whole story before separation, divorce, just through my journey of over drinking for a decade at least to becoming alcohol free now for almost 6 years, which is
wow,
crazy.
So
awesome.
Cool.
I love it.
So
and
awesome.
Yeah, thank you. So I was married almost 20 years and separated, divorced for 2 now. And I have a almost 20, 15, and 14 year old. It is wild and crazy, and I love it at the same time.
Awesome. Oh, cool.
Yeah, so clearly those are listening, we're all believers and we love Jesus and we believe in God's word. And we are, as Ryan was sharing in the beginning, if you remember, those of you that have listened along, we had a little group called Moms in the Middle for a while. And it was just kind of moms sharing and connecting of our reality of living in the middle of what life really feels like. And she brought up a point that we're a statistic. So tell me more about that. Like, when did you realize that? And how is that going to help and serve and just bring us to reality?
Yeah, I think it's so interesting that, so there were 6 of us in our Moms in the Middle group, and now 3 of us from that group are, unfortunately, but fortunately, divorced. So yeah, I don't know when I thought about it. I've definitely thought about it like over the last couple of years, like, wow, that's so interesting. And then today when I knew we were going to have this conversation, I was thinking about it again, like, man, we're that statistic that 50% of marriages end up in divorce, which is so surprising. And I think we have all heard that at some point, but like, whoever would have thought that they would be part of, you know, that 50% that ended up in divorce. So I just think that's so interesting. And also because all of our stories are so different, you know, from the 6 of us to like the 3 of us who have now gone through divorce, all different reasons, all different seasons of trying and fighting for our marriages and not just walking away lightly. And, you know, the 3 of us here kind of counseled each other through that. And even with our Moms in the Middle group, we had those conversations then, like they knew those amazing women who we love and adore still. And they walked through that with us and they prayed with us for that. And yeah, I just think it's so interesting. And I think it's really telling of the times that we're in and the brokenness in the world that it really is 50% of marriages, maybe even more now, who knows, are ending in divorce, which is so sad.
Yeah. So let's just, let's open up, let's share our stories and whatever feels, true for you that will serve our listeners. Whoever wants to go first, then we'll just kind of, check in and enjoy this conversation and supporting each other.
Well, I think it was, I just remembered when we started this podcast too, because it brought me back to when you were my life coach, Michelle. Yeah. And like we had conversations about me possibly leaving or separating, right? Like I remember, I don't know if you remember this, I remember a very specific session where you were like, well, maybe God is telling you like you need to go, you know? And I was like, nope, like I wouldn't even touch it. Like I wouldn't even go there, you know, like divorce is not an option for me. And hello, I support people in their marriages for a living. Like that's what I do. It's what I still absolutely love to do. As Michelle stated in the beginning, like I don't advocate for divorce, but unfortunately, that was my path that had to be taken in order to live a healthy, vibrant life and have a chance at that for me and yes, my kids. But it is so funny to think back at like just a few years ago where it was like, and this is something I wanted to touch on too, because, I mean, I married my high school sweetheart. We had a heck of a roller coaster of a relationship and a marriage, which is what even got me involved in what I do today, you know, and what I feel to like so strongly that God has called me to do and equipped me to do because of the difficulties I experienced in my marriage. The level of insight and compassion that I now have for women struggling in their relationships is something that I just literally could not have had without going and walking through all of that. So on the flip side of that, I'm extremely grateful for this journey, and God is cool and brings purpose to suffering and all of that, right? We had separated once before, and that was a huge part of, again, where this business even started, because I had done so much internal work on myself during that separation. It was like, it was only like a 5 month separation. And I like delve headfirst into like therapy and my own coaching and my own healing and connecting to God. And like, who the heck am I outside of my marriage? And when I did all of those things, at the end of the day, we decided to reunify against our therapist's advice, because he said all of the right things. And I then realized, and my eyes were open to the toxicity I was bringing to the relationship. So it filled me with like a renewed hope of like, okay, I've got a part in this. If I can control my part, we've got a real shot at this marriage working, right? And unfortunately, for those of you who are maybe walking through a separation or anything like that, it's like my desire to stay married, my desire to not let my relationship fall apart actually clouded my judgment and discernment as to what I really should have done in that moment. And at the very moment, at the very least, I should have held out longer to see that his actions were displaying, like backing up what he was saying, right? And so we just went through this whole transformation in such a weird way and such a cool way, in the sense of like, I kept growing and he wasn't along for that ride after all. And it was very much an action based off of doing things to try to keep me and appease me versus a genuine heart change and repentance. And no trust can really be rebuilt based off of a lack of true heart change and repentance. You know, like, it's just not possible. Unfortunately, I've seen, I just want to say right here and encourage anyone listening, doing what I do and walking through what I've been through, I've seen incredible, like, people come back and through abuse, addiction. I mean, I have so much hope for marriages if you guys are both on the same page and walking together with God at the headship of this. He absolutely can restore anything. However, it does take our will and choice to follow him, and both of you need to do that. And unfortunately, that was what led to the demise of my marriage.
Yeah. I want to make a point to what some women, I believe, think in the beginning when you were talking about choosing the separation and this whole, I will not get divorced, this strong. That's what happens, I believe, when things get really shaky. And I call it the chasm just feels so wide that there's this idea that it seems impossible to reconnect, but yet there's this hard fast, I don't want to get divorced, and this is the rule that I'm placing over myself, because, you know, we, especially as a believer, that's not what God wants for us either. However, what I've noticed is that is also what keeps us stuck, versus thinking, you know, just so you know, ladies, divorce is not the first step. Like, I don't know about your step, your states, but my state wouldn't let me get divorced before a year. So that isn't the first yes or no option. There's a lot of things we can do in between to explore the relationship. Absolutely. And that sounds like that's what you did.
Yeah. And that was the biggest, that was the most important thing for me, was like, I had to know, I literally had done everything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I had plenty of wise counsel around me saying that I, you included, that that I might want to take a step out. And again, I didn't go for divorce. So I totally agree with that. I'm a huge fan of separation. I just want you all to know that. I think that, like, especially if you guys are in a really toxic, or, you know, situation. And when I say toxic, this can be emotional and verbal abuse, and you're stuck in a very unhealthy cycle, because that is very damaging to your brains, y'all. We need to raise the bar on abuse. Or on our standards for what abuse is considered. So I'm just going to say that right there. But that being said, I absolutely was like, God hates divorce. God doesn't want me to get divorced. And I had that in my head at such a deep level. And it was so clear to me. And thank God I had a marriage coach at the time when I made that decision, who helped me see clearly what was going on in my marriage. And she was a God-fearing woman and a believer. And she was like, Katie, God does hate divorce. He hates sin. He doesn't want evil things in this world. However, they exist, and he protects us, and he allows for divorce because he loves us more than he hates divorce, right? Mm-hmm. And that was such a just like breath of fresh air, because I didn't want my family to fall apart. It was twofold, right? It was like, I didn't want to disappoint God, and I didn't want to be in disobedience, but I didn't want my family to fall apart. And I lived in a state of denial for far too long because of those two mindsets. And I figured if I could just do more, or if I could just change myself more, or if I could just hold myself accountable more, like there's more things, or if I could send him the right book or the right podcast, or get him the right help, like it would all just work out. And I just need to hang in there, and God's going to bless me. And I remember sitting in my driveway, just like yelling at God. Like, I was so mad at him. I had my like fingernails just dug into my like steering wheel. My head was like against it. I'm just bawling, sitting in my driveway. And I'm just like, what is going on? Like, I've done everything here. Like, what do you want from me? I've got this business. I'm supporting women in their marriages. Mine is falling apart. Like, this doesn't seem right, God. Like, I'm trying to walk in obedience. And he just so clearly said, like, it takes two, Katie. Like, you have done everything you can, you know, but like, it takes two. And while he can work miracles, he also wants his children to choose him in his path. And there's nothing we can do about the other ones not choosing that path, unfortunately. So,
wow. Well, and what I hear too that really matters and stands out to me is that you did wrestle with God. He was at the center the entire time.
Oh, I was real mad at him.
So that's real. I mean, so many women, I mean, that's mostly who's listening. They probably are feeling a little cringe about that. Like, what do you mean wrestling with God? What do you mean being mad at God? And because that's what I've seen, and that there was a season in my life where maybe I didn't really quite understand that, but the fact that you were there, that you were giving it your all, and that you did wrestle with all the big emotions and still knew that you felt safe doing that with your Creator and that He would guide you. That's just a huge, huge thing.
Yeah. And that God, like, what I love about God is I always remind myself He's my Father. It's like me with my kids. Like, they're allowed to challenge me and question me and wrestle with me. And, you know, I'm going to love them through it and guide them through it. And I don't love them any less if they're, you know, asking hard questions or upset with me. Because ultimately I know what's best for them. Mm-hmm. And God knows, as my Father, what's best for me. So don't be afraid to wrestle and to question and to talk to Him about how you're really feeling, because He already knows anyway.
He can take it. Yeah. No, I love that. Cause honestly, it wasn't until, like, again, another level of just my belief and my faith and my walk with God. Another part of the aftermath of all of this is looking back and honestly with gratitude, because I didn't even know the relationship possible with God and the depth that I could experience in that relationship with God if my marriage didn't fall apart. Mm. Like, yeah, the struggles brought me closer to Him, but the way He has shown up for me in such tangible ways, Ryan and I are now, because Michelle doesn't live in Arizona, Ryan and I are now, and Ryan started this beautiful single moms group that we pour into each other. And he has, I mean, I just haven't experienced like this much community and love and just God-given led sisterhood ever. So there's so many ways that He has provided and shown me, like, hey, even though you yelled at me that one time, I still love you and I'm still here for you. It's been more than one time, y'all. Let's get real.
Yeah, I yelled at God a couple weeks ago myself. So, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. We talk. Yeah, I just agree so much with everything you said, Katie, but like the fruit that's come out of the pain. Oh my gosh. I would have never had our sisterhood, our group, if we were still married, right? Because it's a single mom's group. And everything that's happened, it was all in God's time. You know, we think, like, should we have left earlier? Like all the, when I look back, it just amazes me how not only how he's provided, but like how everything had to happen on that exact timeline for me to be right here, right now. And that's true, like in my career and all in so many ways, when you really look, you're like, oh man, it does make sense. Like, this is great. I love this for me. But in the middle of it, you're like, man, what is going on? Like, this is never going to end, this pain, this confusion. So I love that eventually it all does come together and make sense, but it doesn't make the long nights of sorrow and crying any less hard, you know? So
go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
No, just encouragement that there will be good on the other side. Just who knows how long it's going to take sometimes.
I love that you said that, because before we got on the podcast, we were talking about our journeys and stuff, and I said like I stayed too long, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like hindsight's 2020, looking back, seeing the signs from this perspective of like, why didn't I leave earlier and sooner and before we had kids and all the, you know, whatever. And then it's like, just like you bringing that into clarity and perspective, it was like, I wouldn't be who I am. I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't be around you guys. I wouldn't even be a part of Moms in the Middle if I wasn't still married. Like, that wouldn't even have been a thing, you know? So it's like, there's so many, like, you can just look back and see like his timing truly is perfect. So thank you for that. That's a beautiful gem. And I'm sure, Michelle, how do you feel about all that?
Yeah, I can totally relate and connect, because I had to really work on my own self to walk through that process too. That version of me who predominantly was inside of that marriage is one of my unhealthy versions of me. And so I knew, and I, because of who I serve, the women that I serve, I say, hey, you know, alcohol was just my coping mechanism, my de-stressor, my go-to. And there would have been no way that I could have walked out this journey with integrity, with grace, with like just that fundamental knowing that God loves me, that he's protecting me, that even though this is painful, even though there's a lot of outside judgment and questions and internal stories and dialogue and the what ifs and what if I'd have done this or done that, I could not have done any of that if I had have been going to a consistent coping mechanism like alcohol.
Yeah.
So a lot of women are, they hear my story and I'm able to connect with them and relate with them, because a lot of the women that come to me who are in that rhythm of over drinking, one of the big issues in their life is their relationship.
Yeah.
And a big fear for them is, oh no, if I quit drinking, am I going to get divorced? And I don't know what's true for them, but that's a fear. So here's what happens is they're choosing to be so afraid of the what if this might happen. They're staying inside of that stuckness. And what I can say is, you know, my story could have gone different, but I know that I could not have done it from a place of still being in that cycle. But the thing is that that's what God called me to first. He was talking to me first, saying, you know, you have to surrender this thing to me because I'm going to do a work in you. And I didn't know that 3 years later, I would be walking through that. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. However, because of my obedience, that's where it led. And time-wise, I wouldn't change anything with any of the experience. And I can actually look back and see seasons of my marriage where I remember, you know, thinking about divorce and asking myself that question and questioning this relationship and this partnership. But then seeing God just, you know, Not that he said not yet, that this was in his plan. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I can see where I go, oh, well, if I had to jump the gun and done something, you know, quote unquote crazy.
Yeah.
I would have not been in integrity. I would have second guessed myself. I might would not even have my son who we've adopted, because I absolutely believe that my, not only was my marriage for good for my biological, but it was designed to get this son that I have now. And so there's no regrets. And there's, you know, as far as that goes, it's just realizing that, you know, it came to an end. And there is joy now. There is healing now. There is abundance, and there is this beautiful, amazing relationship that God has blessed me with. And I feel so honored for that. But there was a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow and a lot of struggle that is each of ours to walk and own. And that's something that I never can truly articulate to someone, but that because we've gone through it, and my belief of why we're here today is to just to let somebody know that you can go through that, and that, but not without some sort of support, for sure.
Yeah. I love that you said designed for good, Michelle, because sometimes I think, you know, when you go through a divorce, and especially if it's like a difficult divorce, you can kind of forget about
are there easy ones?
particularly,
yes, I hear what you're saying. There are levels. There are more complicated ones, for sure.
Yeah, but that it was designed for good. That God knew that we would be married to these men, and that our children would come out of it, and there would be so much beauty. And if nothing else, because of the children that we had. So like you said, Katie, like, should I have left earlier before we had kids? Like, no, because you were supposed to have these kids.
Yeah.
This man. And so he hear this, that we are for marriage. I think we've all said this a couple of times, like, we're not for divorce. We didn't want divorce. We are for marriage, but there is grounds for divorce. And sometimes we do have to decide that for ourselves ultimately. Because I know for me, it was a long journey of uncertainty. And, you know, is this a good reason for divorce? Is this abuse? And ultimately, abuse is mistreatment, right? And if your marriage isn't being honored by both people, that's mistreatment, that's abuse. And I think we often try to get validation from other people and from our church. Is it okay for us to get a divorce? And really, that has to be a conversation with God, because like you said, Katie, we look for reasons. Is it a good enough reason to leave? We're going to fight for our marriage. But ultimately, God hates divorce. Yes, but he loves his children.
Yeah.
More than anything. So if you are treated or abused in any way, he wants you to be okay first. It's not just about the marriage, it's about his children, right?
Yeah. That's so good. I just remember being on the other side of that conversation with you when you were still married too.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes, Katie was speaking some truth into me, because she's kind of one of those people that I was like, oh, I'm getting opinions. I'm getting so many people's opinions. Yeah. Like, I know someone to be like, yes, it's okay to leave, or no, you absolutely can't leave. And there was people who told me both sides, but none of them helped. None of them helped make the decision ultimately. That had to be in my walk with God. And what I love, and what I think is really important, is that I was doing the work. And from each of your stories, I know you were doing the work. Mm-hmm. So we were able to make those decisions with integrity and with that deep knowing that that was the right decision. We walked away knowing we did everything that we could, and in really healthy ways for each of us. Because it's so important to just know that when you're leaving a marriage, That's not an easy thing to do. So to know that you did everything that you could and it wasn't taken lightly, because we wanted to honor God, I think that's really important to make sure you're in that healthy space. So it makes sense to me, Michelle, that women are scared because once they get sober, their eyes are open, their minds are clear, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they don't want to do that. They don't want to face the truth of their reality.
Yeah. So I have a question for you, Ryan. Thank you for sharing that you were seeking outside approval.
Yeah.
So tell me about what changed for you and how you really kind of came back home to yourself and recognized that that's not going to help, that you have to know that you know. Like, how have you grown through that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, before you do that, I want to just caveat on that, because I think it's like, I think, hey, it's biblical, like have many advisors, wise men have many advisors, right? It's like, so I love that. Like, we all have many advisors. That's a big part of our group, each other, you know, a big part of like holding each other accountable, calling each other up, as we refer to that term now. Mm-hmm. And it's so important, but like, I'll let you fill in the blanks on that, Ryan, because like you said, at the end of the day, there are some decisions that can't only just be made between you and God, you know?
Yeah, totally. Because if I had just let my decision be based on other people's opinion, that would have not felt good. I would still be uncertain today. So my story, I feel like a lot of similarities with Katie's story. We had a very toxic relationship. We were together since we were 19, and just a lot of on and off and ups and downs. And ultimately the big issue in our marriage was addiction. And that was kind of what was just stealing all of our time and all of our joy and any connection that we could have, because the person that I married wasn't the person that was coming home every day. And he was very much two different people when he was sober and when he wasn't. So I walked through a lot of years of hoping and praying and threatening and, you know, trying to do like both sides of the pendulum, where I'm like, going to be really mean, or I'm going to be really nice. Like, what's going to work to, you know, make this marriage work, to make him open his eyes? What book will help him? All the things. And through that, we did have some really great times of him being sober and us really seeking God and doing work together, like Celebrate Recovery. And most importantly, I was able to see my part in things and really understand that, you know, his addiction wasn't the only problem. I was able to see my own issues that didn't help. And, you know, not that I'll never take responsibility for his addiction again, because I did that for a long time too. But I was able to see what was my addiction. I was never, you know, I didn't have like a vice like drinking or drugs or anything like that. But my addiction was anger and a quick tongue. And that was just as damaging to my family and to my kids as his drinking. So for me to really take that responsibility and work on myself, and that was so humbling and so necessary. So I think the last couple of years when we were, you know, we had separated, he had moved out, I let him come home, because he again would have those short periods of sobriety and I would see hope. I was really able to continue doing the work through that and realize ultimately that our home together wasn't producing fruit that honored God, and that our children would continue these patterns if I didn't break them there. So I can only do what I can do. That's what I teach my kids. Like, what's my part in it? How can I change it? And I was just no longer willing to put my kids through that. And my older son was getting older and seeing more and starting to kind of step in or make comments. And I was like, that's not okay. And then my daughter, you know, she was six when I finally ended up leaving. And my big moment was her, because I asked myself, would I want this marriage for her? And the answer was no. So could I keep living with this as the example, thinking that possibly someday this would be her reality, and it wasn't. So for me, it was ultimately my kids. And that was so hard because you think keeping your family together is what will honor God. And so it was just a really hard reality to realize that that wouldn't honor God, that would just continue to hurt my kids. It would continue to hurt me. We would continue patterns that were probably, continued for generations in different ways. And I just ultimately had to not ask anybody else. It was great to have wise counsel and to know people's opinions, but everyone knew that ultimately it was my decision. So even my family, yeah. I was going to leave every time, when I would leave my home and go stay somewhere else for days, my family supported me no matter what.
Yeah.
Would have hung in there with me no matter what. They supported me when I left. So I think really just knowing that burden was mine to carry and to make the decision, because nobody else could do it. But knowing Jesus would help me carry it, like truly, not just saying that because it's pretty and the Bible says it, but like, let's go, God. I you say, you can take care of me. And man, has he taken care of me over the last 2 years.
Really well.
I could list the ways for days and days. Like, whew, it's amazing.
Wow.
So good.
Yeah, thank you for sharing all of that.
So good.
And at the end of the day, too, we can get counsel and we can check in with those people we trust. And still, no one knows our story like we do. There's no way. Even if we are articulating it, sharing, no one knows unless they literally have walked in our shoes. And that goes for every human.
Everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, God's got an individual purpose and mission for each one of us. And there's only one person living our lives. It's like, so we have to make that decision. When you talk about your kids, Ryan, that just killed me because I think so many women on here too, because so many of us stay for the kids. And that's such a common thing that we tell ourselves, is because it is ultimately best, we'll say, for kids to have a united home.
Absolutely.
However, it isn't if it's united and very broken. That is not doing anything for your kids. And I speak this from my own experience and watching you guys and many other women. It was heartbreaking for my children. And we still have a lot of hard conversations, because at 9, how can he process what's really going on and why I can't just live in the same house with my mom and dad? And that sucks. Like, I'm just going to be real. Like, that sucks, you guys. I don't have any. However, what does not, and what brings me complete and total peace walking through this with him, is I'm never going to get to the end of, my life and get close to when he's an adult and he's going to look back and say, like, why'd you stay in that, mom? Why didn't you remove us from that situation? And why did you set this example for what love is? Because also, person after person, woman after woman that I work with, we formulate relationships based off of our early childhood experiences and what has been conditioned within us. And so it's like, if you're sitting here saying, I'm staying for the kids, well, that's not what you're doing if you have an unhealthy, broken, toxic home, because all they're doing is getting brokenness and toxicity. And they're thinking this is normal and this is love. And that is what they will perpetuate and carry on into. You think you can hide it? You're not hiding anything. Mm-hmm. They feel it. Your energy exudes that and they pick up on it. And that's why they're, acting out in school and all of those things. So my kids are absolutely wonderful. They're doing fan-freaking-tastic. And I'm so, again, by the mercy and glory of God, it was hard, but I would have never, I can't, I could never stayed in that situation and been a good mom. As good of a mom as I am now. Like, yeah, it sucks. I have 50% of them, but when I'm 50% on, I'm on. Like, I've got full energy. I'm such a better human to them than I ever could have been in that exhausting situation.
Yeah, that's so good, Katie. Yeah. That's something that needs to be said too, like how unhappy each of us were in our homes, in those environments. And if we were unhappy, how were our kids? Because they were getting an unhappy mom, an unhappy dad likely. So, you know, how could that be creating a happy home? So good. So true. And even talking about our kids, like even now, there's still struggles with all of my kids, the different ages that they were when I left. So my oldest, now 11, was 9. He knows like this was the best choice. He tells me all the time, like how grateful he is for our home. And oh man, one time a couple weeks ago, he told me like, you should be proud of yourself, mom, because you changed 4 people's lives. And I was like, oh, well, I could cry saying it. Like, you know, so they see those things. Oh, and my daughter had a really hard time. I didn't expect her. She had a really hard time in the transition. She was 6. And then my youngest, he was almost 4. So kind of didn't really affect him as much then, but now it is. Now he is always saying, my brother and sister got to live with dad longer. He loves his dad, doesn't see him enough, wants to be with his dad. So it's just really interesting to see, you know, how each of them struggled then, struggle now, will struggle. And there's always going to be hard decisions and hard times throughout that. But I know I have peace, and I know that God will always take care of me, and God will always take care of them. And that's where we're pointing them, is to Jesus. So thank God.
Amen.
Yeah. So I would like to share some perspective on my experience. And I think I want to start with the idea of, you know, my story is a little different. No, you know, addiction per se. If anything, I was the one who for a long time had dependence and desire to cope. I do not identify as an alcoholic or anything like that. I just chose that as a coping tool because it worked. And I teach women that, we talk about it. Well, it works. It's everywhere. It's the conditioning of the world. I didn't choose to sit on the couch and Netflix. I didn't choose to overshop. I didn't, you know, wine worked for me. So, but of course, there was a season that when I realized that just wasn't healthy for me. But I would say my biggest addiction was control. And I lived inside of control for a very long time. I controlled what I thought that I needed to do for safety. I got to control how he behaves and how he responds and how the children feel inside the home. If they like me or if they don't like me or pleasing them, it's just bizarre when I look back at that version of me and learning that there's just such a part of me that was fear abandonment. You know, if things are not okay, then someone might leave. And it's interesting because I have parents who've been together. So a lot of this journey has been me learning about myself, but also learning who I became inside of that relationship, to where my experience was more not feeling safe with communication, vulnerability, feeling not heard, and getting to a place where avoidance was what I chose to do. And then that became this huge separation of these two humans. You hear it all the time, living as roommates. And it's so hard to articulate, even when I was going through it, discussing with my children. You're talking about hard conversations, especially preteens and teens that have big questions.
Yeah.
They challenged me. That was huge. And just, you know, not really being able to say there was an affair or there were drugs.
Right.
And what I really came to understand was we were two humans that made this commitment together and somehow never really nurtured a friendship or the relationship and a marriage that God designed it to be. We just didn't do that. We, for me, this is my perspective, we kind of just, I kind of checked the boxes of, okay, this is what you do, and you do this, and you get married, and you do the job, and you have the kids, and you function. And then, so what happened was, when healing started coming, and I started going through my own journey and growing, and same thing, encouraging and hoping and asking, you know, maybe if he'll read the books, or if we'll do the things, and we'll reconnect. And just realizing that because my children didn't see conflict, and because they didn't see really anything dangerous, they were completely caught off guard. Because, but it was so complacent, and we were just so separate already for so long.
Yeah. That's so hard for them to like wrap their heads around. Right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And so same thing, I got a lot of hard questions. There was times where, and it's beautiful now, me and my younger daughter, we have this sweet relationship, but it's because of the mom that I have become outside of my marriage. I don't have to control. I learned to release control. I've learned to let people be who they need to be. I've learned that I don't have to referee any emotions, but I've also learned that it's safe for me to be tender. It's safe for me to be soft and vulnerable with my children. It's safe for me to show emotion and teach them what that looks like. I never did that. Now, I recognize that, you know, all of this is things that I've grown through, but I don't believe that I could have if I had not gone through my journey of stopping drinking. And then the continued journey of, you know, who am I and what are some things that I'm doing or how am I showing up in my life around my children that is not really who I am? Like when I look back at her, I have such compassion and tenderness. I'm not mad. I don't judge, but I don't really know who that is anymore. And that's the best feeling because I'm actually feeling more true to myself now. And just like we said, fortunately, unfortunately, like this is the part that I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm home. Like I'm truly know who Michelle is.
Snapping right now. Yes. Yes. So good. So good.
So yeah.
Well, I can agree with that, Michelle. Man, you said so many amazing good things to hit on, but I love that really being able to connect with yourself and know yourself and be like, man, I like me. Like, I'm ready. And this is fun. all the emotions that you were explaining, like being able to be gentle. And I think your story is so important because it's like, oh, well, there's not abuse. There's not any reason for me to leave, except I'm just really unhappy and I'm not finding any joy in life. You know what I mean? Not that you didn't have any joy in life. Let me be careful there.
Sure.
Being able to really have joy and expansion and deeper relationship within your marriage. Like, man, that's so important. That person should be able, like you should have that friendship between you where you can be vulnerable and safe and joyful. Like, man, all of that is so important. So for us to set the standard for those things for our kids, and I'm sure you got a lot of pushback because it was like, wow, mom, like, why are you doing this? Because dad's a good guy, right? Like that. But for them to be able to see like the reasons and then the change in you, more importantly, that's going to be really powerful for your kids.
Yeah. And part of the conversations have been, you know, I get that you can't see and understand, but I had that internal conversation with myself, like you did with your daughter, even though it, quote unquote, those who are not watching, wasn't that bad. Do I want my girls to just be okay in functioning in a relationship? No, I wanted them to, even the glimpses of stories I've heard about other marriages, when people would say, oh, we're best friends and we, you know, I love, and I was like, what is that? What does that mean? I've never experienced that before. And I can truly say now, because I believe, because of the first of all, the blessings of God and walking with Him in healing and the journey I've been on, that is the exact reason that I have met the man that I've met. Because all this time he's been working on him, that we came to this place together through brokenness. He's divorced as well many years ago. But to really be able to connect in a way that it is a intimate friendship that I have never seen or experienced before. And that,
amen to that.
Right there is just
beautiful.
Humbling. Yeah.
You're like, this was what God wanted for me. This is what he had planned all along.
Yeah. And here's where I'm at already in this season. I'm excited to be married again because this version of me.
Oh, I love it.
Wants to
love it.
To be able to be the wife that God's calling me to be, because I know I was not that in my marriage.
Yeah.
But I want that.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because I get that all the time. People are like, how do you do what you do? How do you still, because I talk like right after my divorce, like my next wedding is going to be there and I'm going to do this. And like my own mom was like, Katie, like, how can you even, you know? And I'm like, because I know so wholeheartedly that this isn't a representation of marriage. This was a broken marriage. And I know myself so much better now. And I have such a close relationship with God that I'm not going to take the same path that I took that landed me in the situation that I did in the relationship that I was in. So I can go into a new relationship with confidence and peace. And the other thing that you talked about was control. And all three of us had that same, right? And the thing is at the basis of all, and I don't want to speak on your relationship, Michelle, but I obviously was a part of witnessing some of this as you walked through it. And I would say on some level, like from my own opinion, like there was some abuse in your relationship because you did try very hard to get him to come along and be an active partner with you. And you did seek that and you worked. I mean, you and I had so many conversations of things you could do better and help and all that stuff. And again, like complacency in a relationship, like that's not God's calling on a man for a husband in a marriage, right? Like that's neglect.
Yeah.
And there's a reason you were unhappy. And there's a reason we felt the need to go into hyper control mode in our relationships, because we were not emotionally safe in our homes. And so, I feel like that's like, I want to speak into that too, because like, I do work with so many like women who feel like they need to control everything. And I'm like, hey, I was right there, but there's always a reason for it. Like there's something else going on that you feel the need, that your nervous system can't relax. You cannot be yourself or at peace. And maybe it's something from childhood that you need to work on and get clarity on and see somebody for. It was that for me as well as my unhealthy relationship. And so the like theme, I think like we're all talking about is like the fear. So many women again are like, well, oh, you guys are all talking about doing the work and your marriage fell apart. it's like, no. And that's so many people come to us with that fear of like, man, I'm afraid, like I'm going to lose some people in my life. If I change, I'm going to, you know, things could happen. I could get divorced. I could lose my best friend. Like, and the truth of the matter is like, the work we did was becoming the true person that God designed us to be in this life. And there is no amount of me getting to the end of my life and looking back at it and being like, oh man, I just wish I would have just kept drinking my sorrows away. Or, oh man, I wish I just would have stayed married for those kids, because then I would have just, that would have been, no scenario is there in my life that I am not just completely grateful for the work that I've done on myself so that I can handle life with total clarity and peace and calmness and reassurance from God. And absolutely looking forward to of my future marriage and what that's going to look like, you know?
And yes.
Absolutely. And thank you for that. Thank you for speaking over me. I appreciate that. And it's true. You know, when I sit here and reflect on my current relationship, the beauty of it is there is emotional safety, and the beauty of being in my own healing journey and being safe inside of me is also when we have that relationship, whether it's with a new partner or if it's with a really close friend, but really the people that I only want in my life anyway, is those the people that can challenge me.
Yeah.
But also they love me and we're helping each other grow. Cause that's my whole vision too, is I recognize marriage is such a mission. Like, I want to be on mission with my person.
Amen.
In us serving, yes, and growing and leading in our, yeah, lives. And, you know, that's something that I can see now that I just, you know, I couldn't see that before and didn't really know that that was even what I wanted.
Yeah.
Yes.
You get to know yourself and you get to really spend time with yourself and with God and understand what you need and your standards. Mm-hmm. And you know that you want that emotional intimacy with someone and to be tender and vulnerable with each other. You're not going to settle. And one of the things that in our single moms group that we remind each other of is, does this person push you closer to God? Do they make you seek God? Do they help you seek God? So what the first question, Michelle, you'll like this. The first question I asked my now partner on our first date was, what's your relationship with God like? Because I had been in a relationship between, like after my marriage, and it was not ever emotionally intimate. And there was so much lacking, but I was, you know, fresh off a divorce and trying to like make this person, they fit all these boxes, but there wasn't that closeness that I knew I was still seeking. And so, yeah, I knew that the next time, and thank God I had my amazing friends to call me up and remind me, this person can't be in my life unless they're seeking God and I can have that emotional intimacy. And now that I have it, I'm like, wow, like it's so special. You know,
the first question we asked her, does he love Jesus? What's his relationship with Jesus like?
That's right.
Unacceptable. Like, first question I ask on a dating app, guys, just so you know, it scares away so many guys. It's amazing. But that's what you want, right? It's like, I'm in a very cool new relationship journey myself, and he does love the Lord, and he loved that I started out that question with that question. And so the right man who is meant for you and for you by God will appreciate those standards and not run away from them. So that's just a little, any of y'all on the dating website or scenes, like, just so you know, that's a little tip.
Yeah. That and see what happens. It will tell you a lot about it.
Not where do you go to church? Explain your relationship to God, to, yep, Jesus, and see what he says.
Yeah. And the beauty of this whole conversation is for anyone, like you said, mm-hmm, in relationships after marriage, or maybe they just are in a season where that they are on a journey of relationships, had a long term. I have a couple clients that, you know, were in long term relationships and then now they are not. And at the end of the day, it is truly, I believe, for me, it is, we've got to do the internal healing and knowing, mm-hmm, you know, we can't just erase our wounds or erase these, you know, controlling patterns or whatever we have, but to know that about ourselves, yeah, and to be really sure, because like same thing with you, Ryan, you picked up and you noticed things, like that was the first thing that I really was determined that I will, for me, it was a self-betrayal that I had done for so many years is what that was. And isn't it funny how some of my fear was being betrayed, but I was the one doing it the entire time. So what I've recognized that no matter what, I'm not betraying Michelle again.
And that was so good. Like, I'm sorry. I don't feel like we can just go over that, right? Like, what did you just say? Mic dropped. Like, yeah, you're afraid. Your fear was betrayal and you were the one doing it to yourself all along. Oh,
Chills.
Yeah. Hurt so good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the beauty of it, you know, going into this season of my life and, you know, now I'm secure in me so I can create a secure relationship. And Katie, out of all of us, is very It's a lot of work you do is understanding attachment styles and things like that, mm-hmm. and how that plays into the role of relationships too.
Yeah. And one more caveat I want to throw out there for the women who are maybe listening to this and they don't know what to do in their marriage. Like, I think the biggest thing that you're noticing, or hopefully you're noticing in our journeys, is that we didn't just bounce. And I think, like, so many times the women are like in the situation of like, should I stay or should I go? Should I stay or should I go? And my answer to every woman who feels that way is stay. Unless you are in like a severely, like a dangerous position, do not. Yeah. That is a big, big caveat there. If you are in a very toxic situation, and here's what I mean by stay. I mean, stay and work on you so that you get clear on what you want to do, because you focusing on the relationship is not where you need to be right now. You focusing on you and getting clear with everything Michelle just said, right? Where are these wounds coming from? Why am I reacting this way? Like, what do I not like about myself? And getting clear on that will help you make that decision, seeking therapy, coaching, and above all else, Jesus. And my thing here too is like, maybe it's not, do I stay or do I get a divorce? Maybe that's what separation's for. Maybe get out and get separate and get one with God and know what's up from down, so that you can feel confident, okay, we've got a shot here. Like, I've seen a lot of healthy, amazing reunifications come from a separation where both partners get the freedom and space to truly do their own work and come back. So if you're feeling like, what do I do now? What's the next step? Well, first, like Michelle said, reach out, get support from any trusted one of us, like Michelle, myself, therapist, whatever, right? Get somebody who's trustworthy and can be unbiased to speak into your life. And then just get focused in on what you are supposed to be doing and who you're supposed to be showing up on in this life. And you'll get that clarity of what you need to do.
Yeah. So love it. Well, thank you ladies for sharing. I know that, this will really bless some women and maybe just open up some awarenesses for them. Yeah. So that they can seek more support.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Conversation. I think it was really important. So thank you, Michelle.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I will, of course, on my podcast, I'll make sure to put our contact information where you can find each of these amazing ladies, and they'll share where they're going to share. And I look forward to connecting again before too long with y'all.
Yeah. Yep. Ryan and I have a new podcast coming out. Hey-o, shameless plug. I have Katie Mae podcast is mine, or the Katie Mae Show, the Katie Mae Show, MAE. But Ryan, go ahead and tell them about the one that coming out.
Yes. So mine is Wellness and the Word. Like I said, I haven't posted for a while, but coming back soon. But more importantly, space for sisterhood is something really important to Katie and I, that we decided to come out with something specifically for single moms. And we feel like there's a really big gap for single moms. And just when you launch off on that journey, you make that decision, as we were talking about here a little bit. So we have been blessed with an in-person community, and that has just really changed our lives. And just having that friendship and that sisterhood throughout the journey of leaving your marriage, going through divorce. And so we are coming out with a podcast very soon called Space for Sisterhood. And there will be conversation around divorce, this episode, or have Michelle back with us and really
absolutely
just about pursuing Jesus as a single mom. So
yay. Beautiful. Coming Thank you. Soon. I'm looking forward to it. Y'all have an awesome day. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks, ladies.
Bye.
Hey friend, before you go, I want to make sure that you know about the free masterclass that is available for you. It's the 5 steps to help you stop overdrinking without stress and overwhelm. Download it for free today at setfreesisterhood.com/masterclass. I would love for you to come join the Facebook community too. I will put the link in the show notes. And if you're ready to see what support would look like so that you could start walking out your future of being alcohol-free and stepping into the woman who God is calling you to be, email me at michelle@setfreesisterhood.com. Until next time, stay blessed.